during heaven time. He's always visiting us very country. He's there always. So now we do short prayers, same kind of. Then we do teaching. Thank you.
Long
time. Thank you. Long time.
No, they can't. No, no, no.
Namo Guru Be, Namo Vedaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Guru Be, Namo Vedaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Gurubhye, Namo Vedaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Maya samaya gyuhe me Kheya raya bhaya roya shi Maya gyuhe maya ga Namaya gyuhe maya goya ni Soya soya raya re Yeya shi heya shi yuya ya wa Kheya samaya jaya vi Yamaya laya shaya tse lo Te yaya ta Gaya te gaya te Gaya raya gaya te Gaya raya saya gaya te Bohoy de soha Te yaya ta Gaya te gaya te Gaya raya gaya te Gaya raya saya gaya te Moho de soha Te yaya ta Gaya te gaya te Gaya raya gaya te Gaya raya saya gaya de Moe de soha
Tobra shavi chedo, tabi churum, but you say, and be kunos and you just empty,
Sí, siempre con el sembrío.
Our ultimate spiritual goal is complete enlightenment for the sake of all other sentient beings. It is for that reason we should cultivate the altruistic motivation that seeks complete enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings.
As
Buddhists, we should understand that the teaching which we follow, which we study and practice, it has originated with historical Buddha Shakyamuni.
So that Sanje Kyamdi diga ta tu kusum tu yuntinte manje ngapa du shebe chares.
In this regard, we must make efforts to understand the preeminent qualities of Buddha's enlightened body, speech, and mind.
Ta kevan dile ta kava kachin jise kachin chila ne kava chunju dike ta jashu tambo yores.
We often talk about Buddhas of this eon. Eon can be measured in different ways. We talk about what is called in this great eon, or kalpa in Sanskrit. So this great eon actually comes after what we call 80 small eons or kalpas. Let me redo this part of translation. We talk about what is called a great eon, a great kalpa. And a great kalpa consists of 80 small eons or kalpas. And in a small eon, we could witness, not every eon, but in a particular small eon, we could witness the coming of 1,000 Buddhas or enlightened beings.
So that kachi tare dunju tengu ring la ne tal sanje pegwa ma za ki da ko tele ani minkel sigaris geme ka ba sigar minkel sigaris sanje pebi ke ba tal dunke sigaris geme ka ba.
We also talk about what is called dark eons and light as in illumination eon. So in the case of 80 small eons or kalpas, most of these kalpas, as a matter of fact, 79 eons out of the 80 are considered as dark eons, meaning during which enlightened beings do not manifest in our universe. But only one eon, which is one out of the 80 eons, one could witness manifestation of an enlightened being in our universe.
That one, that one, that one, simply that do you turn Google? And simply yours, simply that one, simply that mango yours, that door to the other is in there. And the thing of the Sanji Shane, a true thing, I got that, go out and continue to talk to Dingu Amazon, Sanji Shanguya Maris.
during the 79, you know, dark eons, of course, there are sentient beings in samsara or cyclical existence in the six different regions of samsara. But it's just that sentient beings during these eons, they are really not fortunate to be able to witness coming of an enlightened being or Buddha who guides them spiritually. And therefore, they are very unfortunate, and so these eons are characterized by spiritual, if you will, darkness. So only in the light eon that we could witness coming of enlightened beings of Buddhas. So in the case of this eon, which is considered light or illumination eon, 1,000 Buddhas are expected to come to our world. And so in the case of each enlightened being or Buddha, they all, in a sense, go through the same processes, if you will. By that, what I mean is that initially, or at the beginning, each of them generated the altruistic mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta that we emphasize so much, you know, in our study and practice. Then in the middle, they you know, fulfilled the accumulation of merit and insight of wisdom for three great countless eons. They all went through pretty much the same process. And then finally, or eventually, they actualized the state of complete enlightenment. In other words, they became Buddhas. So all Buddhas of you know, have been through the same process. So in that context, our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha was no exception. In the beginning, he generated bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude or the altruistic mind of enlightenment. With regard to Shakyamuni Buddha's generation of altruism or bodhicitta, we do find two different you know, explanations, the versions, you know, dealing with how did he initially generate bodhicitta. And so these two versions of or narratives, if you will, of the same event, if you will, are based on the different scriptures. One is called Chilesabhado, repaying the kindness sutra, and the other is called Dodikyalsang, Sutra of the Fortunate, Eons.
Which
is entitled as Repaying Kindness, Chilesabhado in Tibetan, it is said that when Buddha once upon a time serving, so to speak, his terms in a hell. He, along with another companion, were asked to pull a cart or a chariot, if you will. And at that time, he felt so much compassion for his companion, and that is the very moment when we consider as him generating altruism.
No, that any total that doing you know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying. That could something is going on. And that thing that they are going to make it a medical book and a dark talk about the jack card and a crank. And then those in the tower so he know him. That year that he is a heavy, he is a top him with you saying that he can't be any son you sent to Haran Shane and do so much.
So how did he generate bodhicitta then, if you ask? It is said that he felt so much compassion for the misery of his companion. And what he really did was he basically took off the burning iron chain off the neck of his companion and put it on himself, and strongly generate this kind of state of mind that, may he and others do not have to take this kind of suffering. I alone will take this suffering for the benefit of him and other sentient beings in similar situation. So with such generation of powerful compassion, which led to the generation of altruistic mind of enlightenment of bodhicitta. And so that's the very moment in this particular sutra called Repaying Kindness, it is said that historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha generated his first bodhicitta. So by the power of such altruistic state of mind which he generated at the time, it is said that he died in the hell, and he was able to be free from that state of existence.
Changes here, but your angry shave in an emadapi, a tassu zupote, any tape, any tie, hege, an equal jewel, that changes him, shop of mason, Junyu Naganayanis.
Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva, in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, it is clearly stated that by the power of generating genuinely bodhicitta, altruism, that one could transform as if this ordinary body into enlightened body. So bodhicitta has so much power to transform us from within and become an enlightened person.
So
Now there is another sutra which is entitled Sutra of the Fortunate Aeon. In Tibetan it's called Dodekyalsan. And the sutra is called by that name because this sutra describes characteristics, if you will, certain characteristics of each of the 1,000 Buddhas who would come to this world in this aeon. And in this sutra, we find a description of how each of the 1,000 Buddhas initially generated bodhicitta, altruism, and then pursued the spiritual path, or in what kind of a particular family each of the Buddha would take rebirth in, and what kind of a lineage they would belong to, blood lineage, if you will, and what kind of disciples they would directly benefit, and so on. So because of this, this particular sutra is appropriately, if you will, labeled or named as the Sutra of the Fortunate Aeon. So Sutra will, it describes, how long each Buddha would live and how many disciples or followers each of them would have. So in this sutra, Sutra of the Fortunate Aeon, it is said that once upon a time, when our teacher Shakyamuni Buddha was just an ordinary person, but a very poor one, materially, in the presence of another Buddha, enlightened being, by the name of Mahashakya Muni, he offered simple porridge in a clay pot, because he didn't have much to offer. He was very poor then. And then he earnestly prayed that by the power of this making offering to you, may I be able to accomplish exactly what you have accomplished, that an enlightened name, enlightened qualities, and the lifespan that you enjoy, and so on. So he made such earnest prayers, at the time in the presence of Buddha Mahashakya Muni.
So
the prayer lines which he said at the time by offering porridge to Buddha Mahashakya Muni are today recited by us often. With the same aspirations, and the prayer lines basically state, may we be able to have the same enlightened body that you have, may we be able to have the same number of followers that you have, may we be able to accomplish the same major and minor marks of realizations that you have. Those were the prayers exactly made by the poor man who was one of the previous lives of Shakyamuni Buddha then, in the presence of the Mahashakyamuni, and we today recite the same lines of prayer, wishing for the same thing. So I think those two versions of how Shakyamuni Buddha initially generated bodhicitta, his first bodhicitta, I think would do for the moment. And now the next one is, as I said, having generated such powerful bodhicitta, then each Buddha engaged in the accumulations of merit and wisdom, and Shakyamuni Buddha was no exception to this process.
That Thames and the Cho Saksi did, ane yenti devi lo sen ne thikwa thikwa omi lukta thikwa chimbi lukta manda chingi yaris.
So as I said before, that Shakyamuni Buddha engaged in the accumulations of merit and wisdom for three great countless eons. Now, with regard to this Theravadan Buddhism, which is today called Theravadan, which is called Shravaka Buddhism, and Mahayana Buddhism have different understandings. According to Shravaka Yan, or which is today popularly maybe called Theravadan Buddhism, during the first great countless eon, our teacher made offerings and respect to as many as 75,000 Buddhas and requested for teachings from them.
Kachin yinbe tsosabi kala, ane da dunti yinbe chikba shi dunti chokton la. A sanje dunti chokton yan je, ane tso ti, ane kshu, ane hinkur, ane dos na yoris.
And then during the second great countless eon, it is said that he made offerings and prostrations to as many as 76,000 Buddhas and requested teachings from them.
That time is simply so sad because ane dunti yinba chigwa shi dunti dunton.
And during the third great countless eon, he made offerings and prostrations and rendered services to as many as 77,000 Buddhas and listened to their teachings.
That Cho Sa was Changpa Sanjue Ma, Cho Sa Ni.
But I would also like to clarify one thing and emphasize it, that it's not just enough to engage in the accumulations of merit and wisdom, but it's also necessary to purify one's mental obscurations as well. So that's why often we talk about two types of accumulation that must be fulfilled: accumulation of merit and accumulation of insider wisdom, and the purification of two types of mental obscuration: obscuration to nirvana or liberation, and obscuration to omniscience.
Morning. Tati nyentu dipi lu di bus. Tati gua kimi lu sege na. Ane tikin se lam nga ye lam nga ta sakyu yaris. Tati kabla ta zosu ti chego. Kare ke tami so so sa su ti chego res.
So what I just explained is according to Shivakayan Buddhism or Theravadan Buddhism, so telling us about how Buddha engaged in three great countless eons to fulfill the two types of accumulation and purification of the two types of mental obscuration. Now let's move on to the Mahayana perspective on the same theme or issue. According to Mahayana, of course, Mahayana talks about a complete structure of path to enlightenment, and there are five spiritual paths, and within these spiritual paths we talk about 10 spiritual grounds or levels called bhumis in Sanskrit of bodhisattvas. So while progressing on these paths and grounds, Buddha completed the accumulations of merit and insight and purification of mental obscurations.
That, ne, tiba jebe lamga kena cholam tan jolam ni jikabso, ane kaje tangbe ane tangme tangbe chosa nang yaris.
According to Mahayana perspective, greater vehicle Buddhism perspective, while Buddha was on the paths of accumulation and preparation, these two paths, he completed the accumulations of merit and insight for the first great countless eon.
Voilà. That's Sanje and Tangi Himano, Tanga Yamari, Sanje Tamila. Ani kacih rek sosial itu, kacih tampil sosial itu, sanjat tampil yang hingkur, anda usah ni nangyaris.
So while he was accumulating merit inside, according to Mahayana perspective, he made offerings to and offerings, prostrations, and rendered services to countless Buddhas. There was no particular number set, like as we talked a little earlier. There's no mention of a number like 75,000 Buddhas or 76 or 77. So Mahayana Buddha says that he made, he accumulated merit and wisdom in relation to countless enlightened beings.
That any tamay tangbu cho zho ne ane sa tangbu re ta thigi je tholam thoyo res.
So once he completed the accumulations of merit and insight for the first great eon, countless eon, then he realized what is called the path of seeing, where it begins the first spiritual ground of bodhisattva.
Satangbone, that in the Sanjisavi Satangbone, Satangbone, and a Dumbe parlor.
So when you reach the Mahayana path of seeing, you also attain what is called the first spiritual ground of bodhisattvas. And from the first spiritual ground of bodhisattvas to the seventh spiritual ground of bodhisattvas, on these seven spiritual grounds or bhumis, Buddha then fulfilled the accumulations of merit and wisdom for the second great countless eon.
Voilà. That then in sa dimba ne ta jeba gobe kyobe takwa sosum sigaris. Ani di kable ani tamis sobe chozan so na yaris.
So then when he progressed on the eighth, once he completed the seventh spiritual ground and he moved to the eighth spiritual ground of bodhisattvas, from the eighth to the tenth spiritual grounds of bodhisattvas, these three grounds, eight, nine, and ten, are collectively referred to as pure spiritual grounds. Buddha fulfilled the accumulations of merit and wisdom for the third great countless eon.
That any number of members later sūdhi sāgu me tā, tēne ane sākyūpa wā chāgu wā, sōng sā, ane tēne nā, ane tā, gōlam dōjī tā pī tēngi sē tē, tā tēne jī shē tē, ane hītup chūngu chūngu ngiāmbu shē, tā ngū yī ngā pāchī mā na jī tā, dōsī nā tōgu wā rē sā.
So the end of the 10th spiritual ground of Bodhisattvas, you know, one experiences what is called vajra-like absorption, meditative absorption into true cessation. And so this more specifically stated is one enters into a very deep meditation called uninterrupted spiritual path, and which consists of the vajra-like concentration or samadhi, meditative absorption into the true cessation. And this particular vajra-like concentration is the subtlest antidote to counteract, is the most powerful antidote to counteract the subtlest, what called remnant of obscuration to knowledge or obscuration to omniscience.
Ah, that in the Junti Pachi Melams, the Sanji Juju, that in Juju Hamada, then in Chagur, Sanji Juju Chagurus, Sanji, that Nyanga Twinkigles, Pachi Melans. Chidu chungu chungu ngunyi xe, di ngunyi xe ni, ta tini nandruwa lang pan duxi, pan nyangya li pa dang ni xe zani, na san xe baris, ane sengi jun xe baris.
So on the, so to speak, the last leg of the 10th spiritual ground of Bodhisattvas, where you enter into this deep meditative state called uninterrupted path, the vajra-like concentration on the true cessation. As you enter into this meditative state, this is what we call the last continuum of a sentient being. And now once you get out of this meditative state, that means once you arise from this deep meditative state, you are in a different state of mind. It is called the liberated path. Now, it's not called uninterrupted path, it's called liberated path. Once you come out of this meditative state, you are already an enlightened being or a Buddha. So that means as you enter into that meditative state, you know, the last continuum of a sentient being, you know, ceases to exist. And once you come out of this meditative state, you are already a Buddha.
That Sengi Jun Chene, and Sengi Jun, that Sanji Jigdas, but Sengi Jun, the Hebe Jun, the Chen Namjing Wonjubris.
So, what has happened here is as you enter into this whatever like concentration, the continuity of your consciousness as a sentient being, it ceases to exist. And as you come out of this vajra-like concentration or meditative state, now your consciousness has become completely an enlightened consciousness or omniscient mind. So therefore, now as you come out of this meditative state, you are an enlightened being, and your consciousness is enlightened consciousness. It is no more a sentient being's consciousness.
No, no. That's Sanjay Thamjee, Sanjay Sakh Neite, Karin, Tambu Sanjay Sakh Neite. Ane zambilang la maris, tambu nil tambu sanjiz. Ane da omitubo kubi hingal sanjiz maris.
So you ask, where do you know, all Buddhas achieve their initially achieve their enlightened state? Somewhere in this part of the world? No. There's mention of a state of existence called Aknishta Pure Land. Aknishta is a Sanskrit word which literally means in Tibetan, in the translation, that it's a state of existence. It's called not below. So this is a state of existence where every one who's going to become a Buddha achieves his first enlightenment, if you will, in this particular state of existence.
Dole sun ta yanda josan ter sanjes ter se zomi tu go bi hinga ter sanjes tu ba po chi ter sanjes ane di ane tu gi di gi lomi le yu ne ane di tu ba po den de pe ne ane sinji ge den se nang yo res da do sum.
In a sutra, it is stated, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that when someone initially becomes a Buddha, he or she becomes a Buddha in this particular state of existence called Akinishta Pure Land, Walkman. But it is possible that he or she has sent emanations in other parts of the world, including our own here. But these emanations, you know, also simultaneously achieve the enlightened state, along with him, you know, who achieves that state, enlightened state in Akinishta Pure Land.
Hola. Da da je to me hiji to ba zambil ma ma he kon la da yon kon ke tu ku je ba ka ba te ne na ne de te yor da kan de gandi yi ge chun je gandi shin yu ne ane sanje was re sanje wo sung gi tin kan ma pe di sa ne te kon da ja se shin te ja na ta.
So Shakyamuni Buddha was already a Buddha before he came to our world, and he was already performing the deeds of an emanation enlightened being. And where you ask, when the Buddha Kashyapa was in our world, at that time Shakyamuni was an emanation Buddha, who was serving as the regent of Tushita Buddha field.
Kong Chenle, Play Bu, Damba Tokarbos, Damba Tokarsum.
So at that time, his name was not as Shakyamuni, but called Play Bu, means the divine son, Damba Tokarbo.
That didn't end the Kong, that didn't end. That Jambilin, man, do see any. Rodin jene phaya ke jam leg san ne da ta jis khona ge le chen ke jis chamang chamang go bo ne kon kusal le phaya ko ne an ta kon jam bil ma phaya ta a the number is.
So when the time came for the divine son Tambatokabo to come to this world to perform or to reenact, if you will, the deeds of a Buddha, he installed Maitreya as the regent of Tushita.
So that that dimension, that tambo, that kongchene, zamil ma paya dete, the zubangala zine, that paya that Tushita that Tushita zubangala zine ma paya that Tushita zubris.
So then, as it was about the time for him to come into our world, you know, he made, if you will, five different observations, and then he came to our world.
Yultam, you kabal pegu yame the jagal, ta yame the dina tu you kabal chwa ye gu yame, ane tu kadu yame, ta tu yu ta tu ta, ri ta ru ta, ane dosi ne ane tunzo kanga dosi ne, ri te javir pegu ya tu ri kotama kotami ri imbata.
So in his five observations included, his examination of when should he come to this world, the time factor, and where should he come, the location, and in which case he decided to come, I mean, to be born in India, and in what kind of a particular family he should be born. So he decided to take birth in a royal family so that he would have a royal blood or the lineage. And then he also thought about a particular what we called the bone lineage, literally translation is Ru. So he belonged to a particular lineage called Gautama. And so he's known as Gautama Buddha and so on. So he made five different observations before coming into this world.
Do the celojabi do imba.
So the time he checked when he should be here in this world, he said, I will be born here when humans have, you know, live 100 years max.
Kazanga sanje tongke dusi ne ta susi susi korde ten dusi ta kaba pegwe me ten dusi ne zivi zane yenda sukan ta zambi ne selo jabi tuide sukan ta dam nam yo ma kai sa sui ta ne ta senki mo gwepo pe du ta ngana so pe ngune sarto hebi chago so sa ta kho dage ta me he to ba pe sanje me so ni to chembo kong ge sin le sam ta ni to chembo ju ge re je za de le so za kong ta So kangde ene duyin mayin duyin na mutuye ta ngara pegin gon ene labur de tuje na yaris
As I mentioned earlier that 1000 Buddhas would come to this world and each of the Buddha you know made observations you know where he would like to be to manifest and when and what kind of people and beings would be benefited and so on and so forth but none of the other Buddhas really wanted to come to our world at this particular time which is called when the humans would have a lifespan of 100 years max and generally speaking. And also the other Buddhas realized that humans of this particular time or era, you know, would be very difficult to be, you know, disciplined and subdued, would be very rude and wild and extremely deluded. And so kind of we really scared all other Buddhas. So they basically thought, okay, we can't handle this much, you know, just very rowdy people would be there. But Shakyamuni Buddha, you know, he took the responsibility upon himself. He said, okay, I will, you know, come to that time to benefit these beings. So therefore, other Buddhas praise him like anything for his extreme courage and determination, for making that commitment.
Tan zeba kyunyi zhe, sanje ke, chana sanje ke zeba thaye paris, yena yan zambilil ma peya tang kandik zhin ta, du ma peba ne, ane gandik nini ma peba ne, ku nyangani mante shi pada ta, du zeba kyunyi zhi du sini, yores, te ma shuk res.
So now what I want to do is I want to briefly tell you what are the 12 principal deeds of an enlightened being, in this particular case, Shakyamuni Buddha. Of course, I wanted to tell you that in general, we cannot limit an enlightened being's deeds into any particular set of number because they perform innumerable deeds to benefit sentient beings. And we cannot put a number on their actions. Having said that, historically, we do talk about 12 principal deeds of Shakyamuni Buddha, starting with Buddha's coming into our world from Tushita Buddha field. So we call it descent from Tushita, all the way to when Buddha decided to pass into Parinirvana. Or in the state of peace.
Oh,
so we talk about 12 principal deeds.
Oh, that tambo the gading in the yubin zebas, ali zebatin tambo the shi. Gandhi in the yuni, like tambo tonga shava yin, and it latas the chute and kunzu in those in number tele, gading in the yubin zebas.
So the first deed we began with Buddha's activities benefiting divine beings in the Tushita. So when he was serving as the regent of Tushita, as the divine son by the name of Tamatsakabo, he was giving spiritual discourses to the divine beings, to the celestial beings in that environment. And that is considered as his first principal deed.
That is the first ta tangi hubi chori re tanji zi ni ani zabil pe gomba ge sa ta lu sin ni yum le yum jing ge du hubi ta zia bas
And then when the time came, he thought he made the 5 observations, and some of which I mentioned earlier, and he thought, okay, it's time for him to come to the world. Then he, conceived in the womb of Maya Devi, and that is considered as the second principal deed.
但是他国国人在把人都等于在他还是不长得怎么的被身体包的没包的人能够有的是。
So when we you know, go through this list of the 12 principal deeds, do not simply think as if each deed is just another count. You know, here's the first one, then the second one. As a matter of fact, the performing a particular deed, Buddha you know, really benefits innumerable people and sentient beings.
Somebody put them in the
So then the third one is, you know, taking birth, which is basically, coming literally out of the womb of the mother into this world.
That thing, those things, that thing, those things, and then,
Okay, there are more stories to tell, you know, how Buddha was really born or came into this world, and he did not take birth just like we all do, come through the birth canal. But he was born from below the right armpit of his mother. And so there are stories like that. Of course, we have very limited time, and so I don't want to get, distracted by other stories, so I'll stick to the 12 principal deeds. So at his birth, great divine beings such as Indra, the king of gods, and Brahma, and so all those powerful gods and other gods, so they celebrated Buddha's coming to the world with divine music and prayers and chantings.
I think that Jesus and it somebody can give a car.
She
was that you know Rosita in the bus. That good damn sunny die, Chungi Center, Rugu Semota, the Yigilay, that to the Javataris.
So then the fourth principle deed involves Buddha's learning the arts and skills, which basically is, education. His education.
Of
course, Buddha learned all the kind of, arts and crafts and, education and available at the time. And he was so, smart, intelligent, that basically whatever teachers taught him, and he learned it right away, and then he would ask for more. Okay, what else is there? And so he was challenging his teachers all the time because, he was learning everything so fast.
That gigging is the equal, and that choice is indignant.
Because of being born in a royal family and he could afford the best teacher available in India at the time to give him education, and at the end his teacher even had to confide that, I have taught everything that I know about the different fields of study that are available in this world, now there's nothing more I could teach you, and so I'm sorry that I have reached my limit. So at that time, when he was a young boy, he was named Siddhartha.
So
And then the fifth principle did, you know, it deals with how at one point Buddha had to get married, and so he was married to many, if you will, I mean, he had many queens. Now, we must also keep in mind that, you know, Buddha's getting married has nothing to do with deluded attachment to, you know, to women or to any other person. And there are many reasons why, I mean, he had to go through that process. So he had many queens, and among them there was a Brahmin lady by the name of Satama, which is a Tibetan translation of the Sanskrit name, which I don't know yet, and I don't think it matters for you. It's a name. With this particular queen, he was able to have a son who was named Rahula. So then the sixth one was ruled the kingdom for a while. So until he reached the age of 29, he ruled his kingdom. So then, at the age of 29, he decided to renounce everything and take ordination. So the seventh principle did is to do with taking ordination. Of course, what led him to renounce the royal life and the samsara, according to the story, is he saw a number of painful sights, like he saw about the suffering of birth, the suffering of sickness, the suffering of death, and so on. So which basically affected his way of thinking so much, and then he decided to take on monastic ordination. So his life story is basically a lesson for his followers who would like to become an ordained person, that in order to take ordination, one really has to renounce family life and come out of the family life. So then the eighth deed was, after he renounced royal life and the samsara, he went into, very austere practices for 6 years. And so he did very, intense,
extreme practice for 6 years.
When Siddhartha decided to renounce the world, and he left, and without informing his dad and dad, after a while, his dad really sent five of his people to sort of take care of him, because he knew that his dad, King Suddhodana, he sent five people into the forest to serve his son.
So those five
people, I mean, when they were with Siddhartha, of course, there was nothing to do because he was just becoming monk. So they all, you know, become monks. And then when Buddha engaged in a six-year intense extreme practice, they kind of left him alone. And they went to another place, a nearby place called Varanasi. You know, Buddha, I mean, eventually come under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, and so before he was going to achieve enlightenment at dawn, the previous dusk, at dusk, he conquered Maras, or the demonic, you know, forces by the power of his love. So that is considered as a principal deed. So now that's number nine.
That didn't mean that. And this Sanjeev in Zabadaris.
And then the next one is Buddha, you know, attaining complete enlightenment. So that is the tenth.
Sanjeev at the Aneta Sagandawak, Sagandawak, Nime Chasum Zo, Saint Sunganan, Saint Jenny Zoneta, Ane Don Lane, a Sanjeev number is.
So Buddha attained enlightenment during the full moon day of the fourth month according to lunar calendar. And if we divide the night of that full moon into three phases, during the last phase of the night, which will be at dawn, basically, he achieved, or he performed, rather, the deed of attaining enlightenment.
Te sela duters, hula nyambrihas, thorang mabazoba sanjis, lusung yaris.
So in certain prayer lines, we recite that sela duter, conquered Maras at dusk. In the middle part of the night, he engaged in deep meditation, and Thorang at dawn, he achieved enlightenment.
That thing, beauty, but that Sanjeev is a better Sanjeev, because that doggy deal and this Sanjeev number was.
So he, you know, performed the deed of attaining enlightenment under the Bodhi tree in the in a place called Bodh Gaya. In the present Indian state of Bihar.
Sanjeev in Zabata, Chuba Chagwe, Zabat Chuba Rebe.
Chuba Chagwe,
at least.
So that's number 10.
Oh, yeah. That, this is just, Marie, Sanjeev Tong, Gazan Sanjeev Tong Samalo, Sanjeev Zabat, Doji Din Rare, Chuba Chagwe.
So all the thousand Buddhas of this great eon would perform the deed of attaining enlightenment at Bodh Gaya, it is said. So there are many reasons given why that would be the case, but we have no time today, so leave it alone.
So
after attaining enlightenment, Buddha did not rush into teaching. He remained in silence for 49 days. So why was he silent for such a long time, if you ask? Because he was basically examining who would be the first people that he should give teaching to, and what kind of teaching he should give, and so on. So he remained in silence for 7 weeks.
Jiten ji kam tad, jiten ji kam dil, sanje se dil, ane shui ma sung bari wate, yena ane ling ye, ane tam bhumcha mangpo le dosi, sanje ki zaiba zene chui tun, dosi nang yuaris.
Of course, we're talking in terms of Buddha's presence in this world, but otherwise, even when he was in silence in this world, I mean, he was teaching, and benefiting many other beings in other parts of the world, in other world systems. So when he was, investigating where he should give his first teaching, and he came to see that his three predecessors, three other Buddhas before him, out of 1,000, they gave the first teaching at the place called Saranath in Varanasi in India.
That Shinjung Sanje, that tongue can I say, Jeja, Gujatan, which could be away.
No. Now the remaining enlightened beings, that would be 996. If out of 1,000, we have four who have already come. They will also give the, it is said, first teaching at Saranath Varanasi. So when he Buddha went to Saranath, he saw the five people his father King Suddhodana had sent earlier to serve him, and they kind of left him when he was in austere practices. And so these five were like Hindu sadhus at the time, and so they saw Buddha coming.
Then Kunzu na chum jebe ta Buddha re Buddha segu amar sesne. Gautama pe yungudu. Jeje ngaran so soka ya la malansi. Kujeb majes. La malansi kujeb majes. Those friends na chum jebe ta.
So when the five, the group of five saw, Shakyamuni coming to them, at the time he was not known as Shakyamuni Buddha, but they called, everybody called him Gautama. So they said, okay, let's make a rule here. The Gautama is coming from there. Let us not, make fool of ourselves, get up and respect him or do all such silly things. Just stay put.
Oh, no. Okay, then, that any, Tadi cerita dem, tadi kerana tu kaya, tapi korang baca cembur sih, kunci nani, tadi baca cewa, kunci yang baca tu yang kerja, kan sama lo, ini ya, ane korang yang cang sih, tapi sanji cili pun tu kunci zigi zogu ama yang cang tu, tapi kami yang lah, tapi cembur lexus yang dapat, tapi sih siap soya tu, ane lesi ni ada ni sih.
So even they made a rule among themselves not to make fool of themselves, getting up or, respecting him, and they said, okay, let's all stay put there. But somehow when Buddha approached near them, by the power or the radiance of enlightened radiance or influence, one of them, by the name of Tadun, he got up and he respected Buddha, and then pretty much everybody got up, and then, welcome. He said, hello, how are you doing, and welcome, and so then they started to be nice to him.
Then, Tadun, ane, kong tsele tseder demba kouta masita, churanzo ane ngas sanje sabres, jeta tundu ming tendi chine tseder demba sini lamne yaku yamari churanzo yaku kreseta.
So they were still referring to him by the same way they used to do, like Tedandemba. There's no, I think, English way to translate it. It probably is something like comes to Mr. Gautama, And then Buddha was saying, now you cannot say that to me because I'm already an enlightened being. So that would be decreasing your merit.
Yes.
So then, they followed him, and all of them went to this particular spot in Saranath, Varanasi, where Buddha was going to give his first teaching on the Four Noble
Truths.
So when they all reached a particular spot at Saranath where Buddha was going to give teaching, by some miraculous power, four different thrones, they appeared from the ground, so basically the thrones are the three predecessor Buddhas and the one for himself. Went around the three other thrones upon which his predecessors sat and paid his respect, and then he took his seat on the fourth throne.
So those five
people who followed him, they become the first five what we call disciples of Buddha's first teaching. So how did these five people become his first five disciples, if you wonder? It is said that in one of his previous lifetimes, when Shakyamuni Buddha was a bodhisattva, and so in the form of a tigress with five cubs to be fed, so at that time the mother tigress prayed that right now I'm feeding you with my milk, but in the future may I be able to feed you with spiritual discourses. So by the power of that prayer, so now the five cubs have been reborn as these five followers, and so Buddha gave his first teaching primarily to them. So there are many stories, how these five people were very comically linked to Shakyamuni Buddha in many previous lifetimes. It said that one time when Buddha was in India, at the time there was, kind of starvation going around in a particular location. And so that time, there was the king, who prayed that may I be reborn as a big fish, in the nearby water, so that I could feed the people of my kingdom. And so that was one of Buddha's previous lifetimes. And then, of course, he came back as a big fish, and then there were like the five people who saw the fish first. So these were the same people, these five people were the, there then as, those who were kind of, who saw the fish first. And so there are so many comic connections, stories, connecting their connection with Shakyamuni Buddha in other previous lifetimes. So as we say that Buddha, the first teaching was on the Four Noble Truths. So how did Buddha teach the four truths then? First, he simply presented what the four truths are. So we call that is presenting, each of the four truths, kongola deba, presenting the nature of the four truths. So he said, this is the truth of suffering, this is the truth of cause of suffering, this is the truth of cessation of suffering, and this is the true path leading to that cessation.
And then
Buddha, in the next round, he spoke about what we call what they really need to do in relation to the four truths. We can call it the functionality of the four truths. So he said, you should realize the truth of suffering, you should abandon the truth of cause of suffering, you should actualize the truth of cessation of suffering, and you should cultivate or meditate on the true path leading to that cessation. So basically Buddha taught them what they should do in relation to the four truths. And then in the third round of his teaching on the Four Noble Truths, which is called connecting the functionality of the truths with the outcomes. So he said, you can realize the true suffering, but not in a particular, this particular way. You can abandon the truth of cause of suffering, but not in this particular way. You can actualize the truth of cessation of suffering, but not in this particular way. And you can cultivate the true path, but not in this particular way.
That indicates, and then, let's say that.
So Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, in sort of 12 different ways. First he introduced each of the four truths. There are four there. Then he talked about what they should do in relation to the four truths. So there are another four there, eight. And then he talked about connecting the functionality, what they could do to the four truths and what they will get out of it. And so there's another four. So there are 12, Buddha's 12 statements, if you will, on the Four Noble Truths. And then we could also split up each of the truths into four, so in which case we have 16.
Different statements, if you will.
Well, we don't have, I think we're running out of time here. Then Buddha talked about four attributes of each of the four truths. So four attributes of the suffering, four attributes of the cause of suffering, four attributes of the cessation of suffering, four attributes of the true path. So there were 16 attributes of the characteristics of the Four Noble Truths. So when the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths in many different ways, at that time, one of the five disciples by the name of Kunshe Ko Dinaya, he realized the path of seeing.
So actually,
I think the Kunshe Ko Dinaya, he attained the state of Nirvana, which is the Arahatsi. And then there are also stories why, he was able to have that experience at that very moment. In one of the previous lifetimes, that Kunshuk was a king of a particular kingdom, and that time Buddha was a meditator, Brahmin meditator in a deep forest, and there's a like story linking them together.
So that is when they come. Jebu jebu the chumo the ge the any nal kudi chan any that jebu tan tenzo lebu tenzo rida kyo gachi any chumo the show ge chun chumo tenzo ge then chang zha ba man ge ni kong le de ba xie ni de kong ti ni de ni lu da chue de le xu xie de bi
res. So that time Buddha was a Brahmin meditator, and his meditation was to cultivate patience or tolerance, shanti. And Kunshuk Vodanaya was a king of that particular kingdom. And so one day the king and his queens and servants, they all went for hunting into a forest. So while king and you know, some other ministers, they were hunting animals, the queens, they kind of, how should I say, you know, they hung out together and then walked somewhere, and they reached, they saw this meditator of patience, and then they listened to his discourses.
So that king, because Jebut, Jebut, and that Simon and those in Sega, Jebut, Lambus, and you and then me, that Mickey and those in that. Korakon debe de te jabu khopre khibis sa che ne ani koran da rade de chili yo se ani rade shum ne te ne ani churan kare gim bas lagba chi chi churan kare bas nga dang su jaba ma yis lagba da lagba ni kang ba ni che kang ga dus che ne kang ga che ne ani ke je rade ti en churan kare nga jaba ma yis a ke je ke rade ya dus in nam res.
So later when the king found that his queens were not with him, so he went out to find them, and then he saw all his queens were enjoying listening to this this man in a forest, and so he just became so mad, and he took the sword out of he brandished the sword, and then he told him, who the hell are you? And so the meditator said, I'm a meditator of patience. Okay, he said, I'll see who you are, and he chopped one arm. And then he said, well, who the hell are you again? He said, well, I'm a meditator of patience. He chopped the other arm. Then he said again, who the hell are you? And he said, I'm a meditator of patience. And he cut one of the legs. So like that, he amputated the arms and the legs of this meditator.
That he comes to any question, Samsung Zoba machine, any? Big Yunti, Karaseta, Sanju Samba, Muni Tony, that September and Nathan Chinese, that Jebu, Deba, Karasin, Jabak, we shave, that pay Samsung. That leave in the meat and this in the Quran, and you pay same time, Montu, you would pay this. Tangi karasya wo chang ni ling ba shu ni ling ba khibu sas ani ke chi ma res ani ngarang ke karasya ko den to jue ni ti ngarang te zu bu ta ti yan jare ji ngarang che ju yus kanam.
But the king was kind of surprised and amazed that the meditator patience was not disturbed at all by his cruelty, cutting off his two arms and legs. So then he really regretted for his action, and he pleaded for forgiveness and asked him that, I really have committed a very evil action here, so could you kindly forgive me and show me how can I purify my bad karma. And so then the meditator said, don't worry, I will invoke the power of truth. My limbs will, attach back to my body, and I will be just fine.
Churang ini ni, tak yang lari lagi di tempat je ni, cepat lagi tu lari lagi. Siapa ini? Nai sem tu tani, tak tahu nama kiri saya pun sanji mana. Dia buat ini top je ni, yang lari tu nama ni semua khusus kan nama itu, sumberis.
So then the meditator invoked the power of truth by these statements. Even though you asked me four times who the hell I am and chopped my arms and legs, But at that moment, I did not even got disturbed for a split of a second. If what I'm saying is the truth, by the power of that truth, may my limbs be recovered and attached back to my body. So then a meditator patient also prayed that this time you have asked me questions, four times, and you have brought the cruelty upon me, but may I be able to repay you with kindness in the future, that someday in the future, may I be able to ask you questions four times, and every time as I get answer from you, may a particular particular delusions from within your mind be eliminated by that. So at Sarnath Varanasi, Buddha gave his first teaching, which is called the first turning of the wheel of Dharma on the Four Noble Truths. Then at a place called a Vulture's Peak, Girthkuti, near Rajgir, he gave the second set of teachings of the wheel of Dharma, turning the wheel of Dharma, dealing with what is called the wisdom gone beyond, what is called selflessnesses. And then he gave his final set of teachings or discourses called the third turning of the wheel of Dharma at a place called Vaishali in India. And he made a clear distinction of the three characteristics of phenomena. The three characteristics of phenomena are impeded phenomena do not exist by way of their own characteristics, whereas dependent phenomena or other power phenomena, Shenwang, and thoroughly established phenomena, Yongtuv, exist by way of their characteristics. So after all those teachings and benefiting people of this world, then finally he decided to pass into state of peace or parinirvana. And he did that at a place called Kushinagar, in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh, unless the state name has been changed now. Things are changing in India. Anyway, that's footnote. So Buddhas, enlightened beings, they never die. But Buddha, as I said, performed, he enacted the deed of passing into parinirvana in order to teach us lessons. In sutras such as Golden Light Sutra, it said that Buddhas do not die, and neither do disappear Buddha's teaching or Dharma.
That thing is a good thing. and those human beings that drink to drink that heavenly things.
So because of the significance and auspiciousness of the day, this is the day when Buddha gave his first teaching on the Four Noble Truths, to remember and repay a small measure of his kindnesses, I decided to speak on Buddha's life story and his principal, 12 principal deeds. Of course, I have not been able to go into any details given the time and situation, but I have simply kind of highlighted pretty much the 12 deeds of a Buddha just for us to give an opportunity to recollect great deeds of Buddha so that on this particular day we commemorate Buddha's kindness and express our gratitude to him.
Sanjin yang yong mo chuchin na mo sung sarwa. That the garing tang as this is in that that is chitas that
no.
Yin attack is in a tang as this is that.
I'm sorry that we crossed our time limit a little bit. Maybe that do not matter that much. So let us do dedication of our merit.
Tang ngarang so ini tang dong sini tring en sanji ge ani zeba juni ge hagdu sin dus ma xube de 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 ani a ge zo ma xube de chran zo nyen bre che ta ge zo de la de ni ani sanji tembro mo ge ta ji yurin de ne ba xiong. Ane jauh ini nabi cebi tinggi cebi tambah dan cukup cebi tempat dah tujuh ini sudah mungkin lalu lalu juga macam ane cuy dongi so paman kundi cawan ini sudah lupa tu ane jadi je kami dah dah gendu mesti begitu so tu dah kini tujuh lalu tu tu dah mungkin lalu juga macam.
By the power of merit that we have accumulated together from my side speaking on Buddha's principal deeds and on your side listening to this, may Buddha's teaching, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their aspirations. May these and other world systems be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
May
all mother sentient beings be free from the two types of mental obscuration and reach complete enlightened state soon.
That the whole thing, Sanjay came to the Javaka to work anywhere, to the same shape girl, the issue of a check with gender tongues, Chichi singles and gender of a tender con the soon Java, soon the was just a dasso said they ran to save his sinking time. Ani chain nangi yung ang kusa sun hu ya huer cheta nganju yata tansan kaya tuhin ng kung tuhuer nganju kaya tuba lang nganju kaya tuba ane tiyeng ba chigu kina yata kwa dako sa sida siyang chigu sa tanda ko na dasun yung ang kusa yam nam jagis.
And especially today we make this same prayer that Shakyamuni Buddha made in one of his previous lifetimes, as I explained to you, that in the presence of Buddha Mahashakyamuni, he offered simple porridge in a clay pot and prayed earnestly that by the power of this merit, may he be able to achieve enlightened body just like the Mahashakyamuni, and may he be able to realize the major and minor marks of realizations just like him, and others expiration for him and all other sentient beings. And so in the same way today, now we pray to Shakyamuni Buddha that by the power of our merit, may we be able to accomplish the same enlightened body that he has accomplished. May we and all other sentient beings, may we and all other sentient beings able to accomplish major and minor marks of realization that he has accomplished, and may be exactly just like him.
Lord, 对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对，对